trusts, been around for a long time. You might have heard about them, but really don't know the power of the type of trusts that we have and that are out there. The type of trusts, say, that Joe Kennedy, Mitt Romney, Donald Trump has.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Bruce Mack is one of the nation's foremost authorities in financing, credit, and other financial services. Having been in the financial services industry for well over 20 years, Bruce is a highly sought after and well-known national and international speaker. He has shared the stage with Donald Trump and Al Gore, to name just a few. His book, Changing Your Financial Future, has helped thousands of people, and his financial software program helps get rid of all consumer, business, and mortgage debt in 10 years or less. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
The pleasure's all mine. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different on this show in that we're really going to give you an opportunity to just do a presentation. So this will be more of a presentation and less of an interview style podcast, which will be a first for this show, but I think it'll be a good time. You know, but before we jump into that, you know, can you briefly, maybe in 60 seconds, give our listeners an overview of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there?
Been involved in real estate investing for decades and been a licensed financial advisor for also decades. I kind of feel that to be successful at one, it's not a bad thing to be involved with the other, right? And I made a mistake. I got absolutely clobbered, a $175,000 mistake, which I'll touch on in a little bit. And it was a big, huge wake-up call. It was a wake-up call that doing things the way I had been taught how to do things in the real estate business when it comes to structuring just might not be the best way to go. So I did a deep dive, and that brought me into the world of trusts and utilizing trusts for both asset protection, for tax mitigation, and for generational wealth transference. As a real estate investor, I bought, rehabbed, and flipped 160 properties in 1 3-year period of time, been involved with $92 million worth of real estate transactions. And yes, I'm a nationally known speaker as well as author. And I really, really look forward to speaking to your audience today, Sam.
Bruce, that's fantastic. I don't want to steal any more of your thunder. So, you know, without further ado, we'll just kind of sit back and hold on while you lead us through today's presentation. I may occasionally reserve the right to interject and interrupt and ask a question or two, but otherwise, the floor is yours. Please take over, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to your jumping in at any time. So you know my background, and let's talk about what I work with on a day-to-day basis with our key and lead division, which is our trust division here at Platinum Trust Group. So who's a trust for? Well, a number of people. First of all, if you're a real estate investor, or maybe even a stock or crypto investor, or a business owner, and you want to grow your assets with no capital gains taxes, and if you have assets in excess of $100,000 when you combine them all, and you have a concern with privacy, then this is something that is absolutely for you. You want to know more about, and we can take in person a deeper dive into your specifics. What are you going to learn? We dig into this discussion on trusts. Well, you're going to learn how to eliminate capital gains taxes on real estate and other investments, how to defer taxes in perpetuity on all your passive income. Briefly, the trust has a deferral mechanism similar, but really quite different to a 1031 exchange. Heck, that's a deferral mechanism, right? It's a deferral mechanism for a number of usually of years or maybe even a couple of decades. And likewise, an IRA is a deferral mechanism as well. One that's usually for decades until you're 72 and a half when you have to start, or 72 when you have to start taking required minimum distributions and finish those distributions by the year 82, 10 years later. Well, our trust is a deferral mechanism too for taxes that are passive in nature, that are deferred out, but it's a longer deferral cycle because the trust has an automatic distribution provision that's in concert with the laws of perpetuity, which so state that the trust automatically distributes upon the death of the last sole surviving heir to the last sole surviving beneficiary. Applying sense and logic to that statement, this could easily be 100, 200, 300 a year or more years from now. But one thing is for certain, when the trust does distribute, all of the descendants and directly people who would have been associated with the trust have all gone to SALT. Therefore, the tax implications do not come knocking on their door. And this is one of the big, huge wins with our proprietary copyrighted trust.
Yeah. So say it's 200 or 300 years, which I mean, is I hate to say it, but that's longer than I care about, right? If I'm still here in 300 years, I mean, I don't think I want to be, but you know, so either regardless, like 200 or 300 years, the trust then dissolves. I forget where I was going with that, but oh, you said something there. Now it's gone.
It has an automatic distribution provision that that track with the laws of perpetuity. And the distribution provision is that trust distributes upon the death.
Right.
And then 21 years hence after the last sole surviving heir to the last sole surviving beneficiary. So everyone in the family tree has to have died and quite literally passed on. And then 21 years has to also pass along, and then the trust distributes. But it's really academic at that point, Sam, because everybody that was ever remotely or directly associated with the trust has died. Therefore, they cannot get chattled with the taxes that have accrued and been deferred to that point.
Yeah, and how do they avoid those taxes at that upon disposition?
Well, when the trust is created, then there are passive, if you will, provisions that are baked into the corpus of the trust that talk about the distribution provision. This is not a regular type of trust, which has a annualized provision status as a part and parcel to the trust. Therefore, our trust, because of the provision of the distribution provision that is out in the future, the beneficiaries, as well as the trustee who is the owner of the trust, does not get hung with the taxes on an annualized basis because they're pushed out, just like a 1031 is a vehicle to push out or defer on taxes, as is an IRA and several other types of programs that one can engage in.
Got it. Great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We also have the ability to ensure that your assets are kept private. So many of us rightfully want to keep things private so that prying eyes cannot look into what it is that we have and then see us for the large target that we are because we do have assets. And you get ironclad asset protection and ensure your legacy. Well, what are we doing this for? We're doing this for our family and our descendants to be able to pass along our wealth and have them ideally enjoy a better lifestyle and be afforded a better education. And these are things that can all be provided for when you have the type of trust that we're talking about. Now, this is an interesting chart because this really goes into the mechanics of why our trust versus more traditional types of asset protections, which most real estate investors utilize an LLC and or they utilize an LLC in conjunction with a holding company, usually in Wyoming, maybe in Nevada, as an extra hoop to jump through. But as you can see, as you go through the chart here, the elimination of capital gains can only be achieved with our proprietary trust, deferring of income tax, the avoidance of lawsuits, avoiding judgments, liens reaching the business, avoiding probate, avoiding KIF tax and estate tax, and ensuring that beneficiaries' assets are transferred properly, and ensuring multi-generational wealth accumulation, and the fact that there are no annual fees. These are the separators between our trust and other types of trust, even the type of trust that some people on this call currently have, which is known as a living trust or living will, which only were created for the reason to avoid probate and to also name who the beneficiaries are. They cannot and do not, by design, have any ability to provide for either asset protection and or tax mitigation, which of course are precepts of our proprietary copyrighted trust. Corporations and LLC, well, the common misconception are that they do protect you. I'm here to tell you that they don't. Heck, I talk about a Wake Forest study that was done some years ago that showed that 39% of the time when it was a state allegated suit and 40+% of the time if the case was filed in federal court, when alter ego was alleged and has been alleged, those cases have been overturned. The corporate veil, therefore, has been pierced, and therefore all assets have been able to be removed. So what we're saying is, when alleged, when using alter ego as an argument, and it is a winner argument against real estate investors, because real estate investors are solopreneurs or partnerpreneurs. They're not widely held. They're closely held entities. And therefore, it is a perfect argument to go against a real estate investor and get inside that entity and clean it out. And then there's another thing, which we're not going to talk about today, but again, should you wish to in the future, we can engage and have a consultation. The other thing is called reverse veil piercing. That's when, well, let's say you got into a car accident and you transcended your levels of protection for your liability. Heck, you might have even had a personal umbrella for X millions of dollars, but there were punitive damages that were awarded and that could have been extremely severe. And punitive damages are never covered in an umbrella policy or general liability policy. To collect on those damages, they could pierce a corporate veil and go after the contents to get themselves whole. This is a newer type of lawsuit, and this is a type of lawsuit that we see now continually, and it's a really scary proposition. Yes, we do have the ability to legally reduce taxes utilizing our one-of-a-kind registered copyrighted trust, and in most cases, our clients are seeing on an annual basis roughly a 78 to 97% or more reduction on their annual taxes. Significant. There is zero gray area, zero capital gains until the trust distributes. You now know when the trust distributes. It's way out there in the future. And one of the things that we really like about the trust is it actually simplifies the entire accounting process. We have a whole team of people that do implementations. We have tax attorneys on our team. We have CPAs on our team. And yes, we even have currently enrolled agents that are enrolled agents with the IRS that are on our team. So trusts, been around for a long time. You might have heard about them, but really don't know the power of the type of trusts that we have and that are out there. The type of trust, say, that Joe Kennedy, Mitt Romney, Donald Trump has. Heck, there was even something in the news within the last couple of months. Kamala Harris has a tax advantage trust. So these are the type of trusts that we deal in that are tax advantage, that are asset protection enhanced trusts, along with providing the basic type of coverage, which of course avoids probate and also names who the future people that will be the beneficiaries of the trust or the beneficiaries of the trust as you so see fit that you want to name. So assets held in the trust, whether it's stocks or bonds, currency trading, Bitcoin, real estate acquisitions, heck, you may be a real estate investor, but also own a subordinate business, a car wash, a legal practice, whatever it may be, and have the future expectation that you're going to sell that business at some multiple down the road. which would create a capital gain. That capital gain can be excluded pursuant to the IRS codes that we operate our trusts under. And again, we can talk about that in person and see how it would apply to you and yours. Capital gains on the growth of trust-owned assets become excluded, and the sale of assets to the trust, when you sell your assets and convey them to the trust, it is not a taxable event. There are no exclusions. Anything and everything that has a book value or basis, as the case may be, can be sold to the trust. Once it's in the trust, it is impenetrable. It cannot be gone after with a lien, a levy, or a judgment. That's just the way that it is. Medi-Cal, something for people who are in California and many other states where they have Medicaid, we also can reduce in or eliminate the waiting period. This can be huge if you need long-term care. More on this again when we get into a consultation, should you wish to have one. Now, one of the things that you guys can do, should you wish to move forward, is you can take a picture or write this link down, which is platinumtrustgroup.com/Bruce. That's a direct link to my calendar. And when we get into a one-on-one, I can tell you how and why I personally lost $175,000 on a bad house deal. It was ugly. It didn't need to happen. I did have the house in an LLC. Yes, I was sued. Yes, it was pierced. And again, if I would have known then what I know now, and I would have had one of my proprietary copyrighted trusts, I would not have been down the $175,000 that you don't need to have happen to you. I want to turn this back over to you, Sam, for any questions that you may have on what we covered on this brief kind of run through on the trust.
You know, I think it's fascinating. You know, anytime we get to kind of look at new strategies that can be employed or strategy, because there's a million and one ways, obviously, to do this. And so I think it's interesting having different guests on that say, hey, we can do it this way, we can do it this way. And so I'd love to just take a few minutes and kind of just ask a few questions.
Sure.
About this, you know, about your trust and how you guys set these up in particular. You know, one of the things that we find is that complications, you know, say we're a syndicator, right? We'll use me for an example. We buy multifamily apartments and self-storage. Those are two main asset classes. And I'm going in as, you know, a lot of times we'll have a general partnership team, right? Is this something where inside, do you put those, because you said, hey, this LLC could be pierced. You know, here's the idea. You know, you mentioned, you named a lot of things that apply to me. Okay, you got the umbrella policy, you got this, you got that. And then they come back after me for punitive damages. And then theoretically, they could go after even the LLCs, because I've got single member LLCs that are used specifically to invest as a general partner in some of these deals. And theoretically, they could go after those single member LLCs, because like you said, there's the alter ego problem, right? It's just me.
There are absolutely ways utilizing a trust mechanism to not only protect you, but to protect your partners when you're utilizing a syndication mechanism, which we can set up and structure. And it is a preferable and much stronger protective mechanism, one that you can always count on that can't be pierced utilizing the trust structure. So I totally agree with you. Trusts are an ideal solution, whether you're doing syndications and working with others, and or general partnerships where you're investing maybe in an apartment building complex with one other person or a couple of other people and not doing an actual syndication, and or whether you are doing a solopreneur acquisition and you're going it on your own. Whether it's any one of those different scenarios, the trust mechanism is the ideal way to go about structuring.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. And we use, you know, on the personal side, we use trusts as when we go in as limited partners, you know, we invest as the trust, but even then it's a living trust. So, you know, even that can be pierced at some point if the will and the means are there to do so. So that's really interesting. Talk to us about accounting. Talk to us about the paperwork trail. I mean, the last thing we need in real estate is more complications and more paperwork. So walk us through kind of how you guys avoid making this an administrative nightmare.
Well, one of the things that folks get when they get started is they get assigned to one of our tax professionals. And we do the tax work for the client, whether it's a business trust and needs a business trust return. And by the way, if it's strictly real estate transactions, because it's all passive income, a business trust is not needed. A business trust is only needed if you have active business income, doctor, dentist, lawyer, car wash owner, internet sales business would likely mandate a business trust. However, if there is the need for a business trust, again, you're assigned to one of our tax professionals and they will create the business trust return along with the regular 1040 return, as well as your 1041, which is a trust return. That's all included with what we do in year one. Also, there's the educational process so that you know what to do, so you know what the rules of the road are, and so that, like I said, it actually becomes a simpler way to maintain your business and your life and lifestyle once you get started. We even have what's called a chart of accounts. Now, some people who are on the call are familiar with what a chart of accounts are, and some people just shuttle that all out and have somebody else do the accounting work and the coding work of their business and personal expenses. We provide that so that people have an understanding. We also can do and have the ability to do. We have a full bookkeeping department if somebody has a bookkeeper, and or we're delighted to train their bookkeeper so that the transition is smooth, it's simple, and quite literally within 30 to 45 days from inception, they're up, they're running, and it's actually easier than the old way of doing business.
That's interesting. Is there a dollar amount, say assets under management or volume of transactions, where this no longer makes sense?
Well, it no longer makes sense if the person has assets, their total aggregate assets, the equity that they have in their house, and if they were to literally cash everything in tomorrow, their Bitcoin, sell their cars, sell their home, sell their business, sell everything, if they're going to walk away with a net check of less than $100,000, our trust is probably not the right mechanism for that individual at this particular time. But we find that north of $100,000 worth of assets is a very low bar and a starting place to begin a conversation on implementing a trust and moving forward with a trust.
Yeah, that's a lot lower number than I would have probably assumed. So
I will tell you that most of our clients have a minimum of between 500,000 to, we have clients that have $100 million and more in assets. Right. The $100,000 is really the entry threshold, and it's a starting place.
Got it. That's fascinating. Bruce, I've enjoyed this. I've learned a lot more about trust today and the alternative trust structures that are out there. So I've certainly found this interesting just from a personal examination standpoint, walking through your slides and going, huh, wonder where I stand on this. So it's certainly been valuable to me. I do appreciate it. You know, I have the same four questions that I always ask every guest who comes on the show.
So okay.
I'd like to wrap up with those if you don't mind.
And then, not at all.
Here we go. First question is this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
That's a simple one. I would absolutely be utilizing those dollars for investing in a trust, because it's going to ensure that you're going to have a business and stay in business and in the future. So a trust would be a no-brainer.
Got it. Great. Great answer. Question number two is this. If you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Not utilizing LLCs for their structure, because LLCs are like tissue paper. They can be pierced. They're constantly being pierced, and they are not the entity that, unfortunately, we think they are when it push comes to shove.
Right, right. I've heard that many, many times. Unfortunately, true. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Spreading the word on having people engage in trust for today, as well as their legacy for tomorrow.
Got it. Love that. Last question. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Well, you've got my direct link to my calendar. For those of you who may be listening, let me repeat it. It's platinumtrustgroup.com/Bruce. Let me also share with you a direct phone number. And if it's better or easier, or they're having an issue booking a time on the online calendar, feel free to call 702-371-2345. Let me repeat that. That's 702-371-2345.
Love it. Bruce, thanks so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you so much, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.